Your wait is over. The Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast is about to start. A Medicare podcast that sometimes actually discusses Medicare. Here he is, the man with no fear of bovine flatulence, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Oh boy, it is a beautiful sunny Arizona day, and we are ready for another episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. Thank you so much for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan, said about me, but whatever he said, the reality is that I am your Medicare expert, and I'm going to stay that way for as long as you'll have me. This is another excellent, excellent episode, I hope. It is going to consist of some parts of free association between Randy Carson and I, as well as some education or experience having to do with Medicare. What I would like to do is impart to people a sense of confidence that their transition to Medicare is not going to be a scary, easily screwed up experience, but it's going to be fairly straightforward. It's going to, with some assistance from a person like me, and I hope you will all select me as your agent when the time comes, with some guidance, it's going to be a fairly straightforward process that's not confusing and not scary and not going to have lifetime bad results, assuming you follow just a few pieces of good advice and you make a couple of easy decisions as to the coverage that you want to get to protect you from medical expenses as you move past Medicare into your golden years. And frankly, this is all based on my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man, which is available at Amazon.com in any of four editions. That would be paperback, it would be hardcover, it would be Kindle ebook, and it would be Audible. So you can have your choice among those four types of methods of acquiring the knowledge. And of course, we ask you to come and visit us here at the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast fairly frequently so that we can share whatever it is we currently have floating to the surface of our piles of things to do on our desks. And I keep using the royal we because Randy Carson deserves to be included in every statement I make. Randy, how does that feel, what, to be included in every statement that I make?
Oh, my gosh. I feel really honored.
Well, you should be. You do a wonderful job of contributing to the success of this podcast. We've had nothing but an upward trend, and I'm so happy to see that more and more people are enjoying. Well, I hope they're enjoying it. They might be listening just to get a couple of yucks. Listen to these guys. But I would like to think that we're doing some good out there in Medicare land.
Well, I think we are because, I mean, how could we not? We have really taken a very hard line on, you know, one of the things. This is not going to be any surprise to you, but based on your guidance and your knowledge, we have always taken a very hard line on which way to go and which way not to go. True. And based on our response, you know, in terms of the emails you get and the variety of different things, I think, you know, based on that, you have guided some people away from the precipice.
I'm pretty sure of that because the last two things I got from people that I had never spoken to before that want to become clients, both of them indicated that they're not interested in Medicare Advantage before I even brought it up. So, you know, I think we're making some inroads, and I think that's good.
Well, guess what? I'm not interested in Medicare Disadvantage either.
Well, then let's not discuss it today. Let's talk about something entirely different. The last time that we just let the free association happen, we talked about radium girls.
Yes, we did. Yeah, that was last week. We talked quite a bit about the radium girls for people that like history. There's another topic, you know, that popped into my head last week that we didn't get to, but I'm going to bring it up to see if there's something we can discuss about it this morning. There's a term that is going around the internet quite rapidly and quite often, as related to social media and how people respond to each other on social media. And it's called gaslighting. Right now, gaslighting has a whole different context of what it really means to be gaslit. But I looked up what does gaslighting mean and where did it come from? And I think I mentioned to you maybe off the air last week that gaslighting is based on a play. And I know quite a bit about the play, but bottom line is the whole context of the play was this person kept turning the gas lights down just imperceptibly, trying to convince his wife or significant other, I'm not sure which it was, I think it was his wife, that she was losing her sight and she was going nuts.
Yes, but the whole point of that was that so he could push her down the stairs and he could, say to the authorities later, she didn't have the lights on very high, so she couldn't see where she was going.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that was the end of the story. Okay, yeah, good.
He was trying to kill her without getting anything on his hands, getting any guilt.
That makes sense. Perfect. Makes perfect sense. Well, in today's world, gaslighting refers to pretty much all the how people respond to each other on social media and what they do to each other on social media, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. But I always wondered where that term came from, and now we know.
Yeah, is it almost political? It's taken on kind of a political use, accusatory or something?
It's kind of difficult for me to explain because I'm not a social media monger. Right. So I don't really have a clear understanding of if I wanted to gaslight somebody on social media, I don't know what I would really do.
Well, maybe only weirdos think of that. And you wouldn't because you're not a weirdo. That's why you don't.
Well, thank you. I think in strange ways, but I try not to be a weirdo.
Well, you generally come around to a rationally well thought out method of attacking a problem or whatever. And so I don't think of you as a weirdo at all. But the whole thing is that you don't know how to rob a bank because you don't think like a bank robber. Although you
know, I don't.
Now that I think about it, you do have some history with banking. So
I do.
You have, if you decided to become a bank robber, you'd be able to do it more successfully than some of these dopes that have done it in the past.
Well, now, given we have a little bit of time today and, your energy is high and my energy is high, I'm going to play just one very short game of stump the insurance expert.
Oh, boy. Have you ever been stumped? It's not as much fun as you think it is. I hope the audience enjoys it because getting stumped is a little on the painful side. But go ahead.
Okay. Who in the United States that is relatively well known turned up with positive for COVID earlier this week?
Can I ask a couple of questions?
Sure.
Would this be a political figure?
Yes.
Would it be a figure of the female persuasion?
Yes.
Would it be somebody whose beauty is only skin deep?
Yes.
Could it be the vice president?
Yes. Ding, 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 ding. You won. So she turned up turned up positive for COVID. I don't know whether she's having a bad time or a good time of it, but, obviously I don't wish anybody bad luck. But, what it brought to my mind was I wondered why everybody was talking about her walking around the White House with this little red circle on her head. And the reason for that is everybody keeps poking her in the head with a 10-foot pole to keep her away from him.
Get away from me, you germy, you germy person, you. Well,
yeah,
I
yeah.
know. Somebody ought to call Fauci and say, finally, we have a case of COVID that you can work on because he's got a lot of free time on his hands.
He's got way too much free time on his hands. And the other possibility, that I thought of during this whole process is that the White House itself was not taking advantage of the 853 COVID tests you could order in free every month.
That's, I think, per person, that works out to an average of 8. Is that correct?
Yes.
I had one COVID test in my whole life, and I don't ever want to repeat that. So,
well, let's talk about that. How many weeks in a month? 4?
Yeah.
Give or take a few. All right. Sure. So that would mean that you would have to take 2 COVID tests a week. every week, month in, month out, to see, to use up what you had. And I don't, to me, this just doesn't make any sense. Why would somebody give you 8 COVID tests a month when you, once you got one that turned positive, you don't need any more?
Well, here's what I speculate is the cause of that. I bet somebody who is a friend of a highly placed politician owns a COVID test manufacturing company.
Yes.
And I'm thinking that maybe the government paying for all of those free COVID tests and then sending them out to all these poor people and other people, anybody who asks, basically, it could be just a sweetheart deal between a politician and an importer, let's say, because I'm sure they're made in China and we're rewarding some Chinese warlords at the same time.
Yeah. I do have one question, and you may not know the answer to this, but these COVID tests that you can get by the gross, and I'll just ask for them, and they are yours.
Yep.
What type are they? Are they the brainstem pokers or are they saliva tests?
Well, I've never heard of a saliva test that anybody thought was worth a warm bucket of spit. So I'm thinking that it's going to be the stick it up the nose kind.
Yeah. Well, I've had both and neither one of them was accurate because I turned up in the emergency room the next week with COVID.
That was quite a memorable experience.
Yes, it was. I can't remember it, but they tell me it was okay.
Well, I went down to our local hospital and after coming back from Illinois a couple of months ago, and I had already self-diagnosed. They said, "Why are you here? What's wrong with you?" I said, "I think I've got walking pneumonia. How do you think that?" And I said, "Well, I've got a friend who was telling me the symptoms." And I said, "I think I've got the same symptoms, plus probably COVID thrown in there for good measure." Yeah, we'll be the judges of that. You know, they were very, very snide about accepting my suggestions as to what went wrong. Hey, you know, we've almost hit the 12-minute mark, and we haven't mentioned the word Medicare one time.
Medicare. So, there we go. All right. So I'm the production guy. So I need to probably encourage us on into the direction of some Medicare info. What do you think?
I think that's right, because I need some direction. So thank you for providing that for me. I just wanted to talk a little bit off the top of my head today about an experience that I solved in the middle of the night in my sleep, or maybe I woke up, but it's one of these things where I wish I had a pad and a pen next to the bed so I could write down my idea before I fell back asleep to forget it. But it all started with about 4 years ago, a childhood friend of mine referred one of his buddies to me. And this guy called up and he laid out his personal situation. And I said, "I don't think you need to do anything about Medicare. You're turning 65, but you're on your wife's health insurance. The benefits appear to be very rich and the cost is very reasonable." So I said, "I wouldn't rock the boat. I would stay on your wife's plan," and so on and so forth. So here we are 3 or 4 years later, he calls me again and he said, "Okay, now we had this conversation," and I said, "I remember it vividly." And he said, "Okay, well, here's the deal. I am now getting divorced and my wife and her lawyer are going to throw me off her medical plan from her employer. And so I do have to do something about Medicare and I need your advice. And here's what I think I know." And then I was able to tell him, "Well, okay, some of those things that you think you know, I wouldn't agree with." And one of them was about a drug plan. He said, "I want the best drug plan available." And I said, "Well, I will search for, once I know a few facts about you, I need to know exactly the details about the drugs you take, and I need to know where you want to fill your prescriptions." He had a local mom and pop family-owned drugstore in his town of Geneva, Illinois, that he really wanted to use. He wanted to support them, and I don't blame him. I'm a big fan of supporting your locally owned business. And so I said, "All right, well, I can do that. If I know what your drugs are and where you want to fill your prescriptions, then I will find the least costly drug plan that's consistent with your particular situation." And he said, "No." This guy just had a kind of a sharp edge to him. He said, "No, I don't want the cheapest drug plan. I want the best drug plan. I only will accept a drug plan from one or two companies." He mentioned a couple of companies, one of which I'm not happy about at all. And I told him, "I will never ever represent that company. But if that turns out to be the best drug plan for you, then I will give you the phone number and you can call them up and enroll it and, you know, enroll in that plan yourself. And so then he had to go on a trip and I didn't talk to him for a while. When he came back, he had forgotten that conversation. He said, I love this company. I want my drug plan to be from this company. And at some point, I finally realized that we were just spinning wheels and I wasn't going to have any luck with this guy. And I told him, you and I are both going to be happier if you go find somebody else to work with. I've never cut anybody loose like that before, but it was very frustrating. And I have molded over for a long time as to what went wrong. And I realized that I'm partially at fault for not explaining the process of selecting the least costly drug plan. Now, I would have just let it fade away, considering it a failure that I had to tell a potential client to well, there are many things that come to mind, but I basically told him to go away and deal with somebody else. And I didn't want to have anything to do with him anymore. Last night, somebody wrote me from, I believe, California, judging by the zip code. And he said, I want a Medicare supplement. I don't want any Medicare disadvantage plans. And he said, I want a drug plan. And I said, okay, I will find you, with the additional information that you're going to give me, I'll find you the least expensive drug plan available in your area. And he said, no, he wrote me back. And he said, no, I don't want the least expensive drug plan. I want the best drug plan. And my head was spinning again. I was drawn back into this, the conversations I had with the argumentative person that I told to go away. And I didn't want to deal with him anymore. And here I was having the same conversation again, or the same exchange with another potential client. And I don't want to be telling people to go away based on the outcome of a conversation that I should be able to control. And so in the middle of the night last night, I realized how I should have described the drug plan search process. And once again, I'll say that when somebody says that they want a drug plan, I tell them I'm going to find them the least costly drug plan available in their area, because every county, every zip code, geographical areas in all over the United States, each of them has a group of plans available to the people who live in that area. And in most cases, it's between 23 and 27 plans, and they each have a different cost. They have a different formulary. The formulary is the list of drugs that they cover. They have a different copay available for many of those drugs. They treat generic drugs differently. Some are more benign with generic drugs, and others are not as benign. They impose a cost sharing copay. And so each of these drugs has a different personality, different makeup, and therefore a different cost. And I realized what I should have said was, you only will get the best drug plan if you find the cheapest one. I should have said the expense, your out-of-pocket expense that I'm going to show you for the drug plan is a direct measurement of the quality of that plan. If I had said that to this belligerent guy that I told to take a hike, he would have probably understood differently. But he was afraid I was going to stick him with some kind of cheap plan, you know, like a Yugo versus a Cadillac. He was probably afraid that I was going to stick him with some cheap plan because everybody's looking for a bargain, and that he would wind up with something totally unsatisfactory that would cause him a lot of frustration. In the case of prescription drug plans, Part D of Medicare, the cost is a direct measurement of the quality of the plan. So I'm going to explain how that works. Here is the ideal drug plan that everybody would get if they could. This drug plan would be free of monthly premium. It would have a $0 monthly premium. It would cover every prescription medication that a person is taking. So let's say that I take 7 different prescription drugs. Well, the ideal drug plan for me would have no monthly premium, and it would cover all of the drugs that I take at any given drugstore, and it would cover them for free. So ideally, with this drug plan that I've just described, I could go to any drugstore I want to with a list of the drugs or a bunch of prescriptions and have those prescriptions filled free of charge. And that would be the same for all year long. The drug plan would be exactly as I want. It would give me all of my drugs for $0. Now, that plan doesn't exist. It doesn't exist for anybody in the United States. So my job in selecting the best drug plan for a particular individual is to pick out the plan that has the least cost associated with the least out-of-pocket cost for that individual. And that is a measurement of the fact that the drug stores are going to be filling all of their prescriptions. All of their drugs appear on the plan's formulary, and all of the drugs are covered either at 100% or with a very small copay, and that the plan premium is not outrageous. So let's say that they've told me that they want to have all their prescriptions filled at CVS and Walgreens. And I say to them, I'm going to find the cheapest prescription drug plan or Part D of Medicare that there is that will accommodate your needs. And that person says to me, no, I don't want the cheapest. I want the best one. I would say to them, the best one is the cheapest one because it's the one that's going to cover all of your drugs instead of only covering a few. And therefore, you'll be able to go to the pharmacies that you've told me you want to use, which were CVS and Walgreens, and then you will be able to have the drugs all filled at a reasonable cost at each of those pharmacies. And then your total out-of-pocket will be very reasonable for the balance of the year. And so the cost for that plan, which is the same, it's an Aetna plan in almost all states, is going to be the cheapest one available. However, if you say Walgreens only, then that plan will not be the cheapest. It will be a hugely expensive plan because that particular plan does not have an agreement with Walgreens. They are not in Walgreens' pharmacy network. And so they are in CVS's network. So I have to tell people, okay, if you want the best deal, the best drug plan, you're going to have to choose. If you want to go get all of your prescriptions filled at CVS, here is the drug plan for you, this Aetna plan that's very reasonably priced. If you want to use CVS and Walgreens because you insist on going to Walgreens to have some of your prescriptions filled, you can do that, but you got to take this other plan that's not quite as inexpensive. So it's a real complicated process. And because of the federal government's website on which I plug into the data, I plug it into that site and it comes out with the cheapest plan, which may not allow you to go to Walgreens for your drugs, but may allow you to go to CVS. If you're not happy going to CVS, there is plan number two that's slightly more expensive, and plan number three that's slightly more expensive than that. And it, if you wanted it to, it would line up all 23 or 27 plans side by side, starting with the cheapest and going to the most expensive. The most expensive plan is the worst plan for you. The cheapest plan is the best plan for you. And I don't know how else to say it except that the cost, the out-of-pocket projected cost for the year is a measurement of how good that drug plan is for you. So I think I have a better way to explain it to future clients who are worried that I'm going to stick them with some cheap, crappy plan that's going to make them unhappy during the course of the year. So I'm going to give that a try the next time somebody says that to me, and we'll see how it works out, Randy.
So what you're saying then is they're afraid that you're going to stick them with a drug plan that would be somewhat similar to a Medicare Advantage plan.
Exactly right, because those are cheap also, and they also disappoint and frustrate. Yeah,
cheap and disappointments, yes. But, you know, you're always going to look for that free lunch and a, you know, tube of toothpaste and the dental care plan. It comes with a brush and a little tiny, you remember back in school, you'd get these little tiny tubes of Colgate.
Sure. Although I didn't ever get them in school. I think they knew that we had homes that where toothbrushing was encouraged. So
maybe
the farm kids got them or something because you guys were, you know, in a one room schoolhouse made of logs and civilization. Oh, no, you had a whole bunch of dentists in your family. They should have assumed that you knew toothpaste.
I knew all about it. All I knew was all my uncles and cousins and everybody else that wasn't nailed down was a dentist. So I couldn't live in that family without knowing something about it.
That was good news and bad news, because as I recall, they also all hated Novocaine or refused.
Yes. We all got Novocaine. free dental care. But what that didn't include was a spot of Novocaine to take the edge off.
Yeah, that would have been nice to have. Well, anyway, the whole problem arose because I expect that people are looking for the best price for a product. And I was taken aback by these two people that said, no, I'm not looking for cheap. I'm looking for quality. I normally agree. I'm looking for quality too. I don't want to cheap out. I'm not ever going to buy a Yugo, but I presented it differently than I should have. I think I've got a better way to present it now, which indicates that quality and cheapness go hand in hand when it comes to drug plants.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm hoping that came across in my presentation. Otherwise, people have just wasted a good 26 minutes and 5 seconds.
Oh, I do notice something on your shirt, though.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I'm proudly wearing my Union Pacific Bailey Yards shirt. What does it say?
So those of you who on the podcast have been with us a while, you know that we love the Bailey Switchyard in North Platte, Nebraska. We talk about it all the time, but we don't have time to do it today because we have used up our fuel.
Poop. Okay. Well, then let's say goodbye and go away. But I'm disappointed not to be able to talk about it.
I know. Well, I've got a few closing. You covered a lot of this in the early part of the podcast. Send Doug some mail at dbj@mlmmailbag.com. Go to Amazon, get something of Doug's, whether it's a book, whether it's an electronic file to play on your, to read on your Kindle or an audio. Do something, because you are never going to hesitate to believe that cost was the best thing you ever spent. So definitely get that done. And without that, we haven't done our job today, have we?
Well, we have done an admirable job. I don't know if we've done the best we could do, but that's always our goal.
It is. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us. We love having every one of you, because without you, we wouldn't have any fun at all. It's just no fun talking to empty air, although I do it quite a bit sometimes. People sometimes wonder, but in today's world, you just never know.
Does Margaret know about this?
Yeah, they could have a Bluetooth headset. I don't know how many times I've been going through the airport watching some guy talking to himself, and I thought, well, I better stay my distance from this guy, but he had a Bluetooth headset.
Oh, boy. Well, listen, I appreciate your efforts on our behalf, and as I recall, how many minutes have we spent?
We've overstayed our 20, that's for sure.
Oh, okay. I usually hear 32 and a half. And
well, we're going to go through the whole closing. So anyway, okay. You guys out there in the podcast land have just spent 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy, and the guy that really has his finger on the pulse of drug plans. So listen to what he has to say. The best is not always the most expensive, and it generally is not.
Well, you got to pick the right one for you. The cheapest one for you is the best for you. But anyway, I'm going to say goodbye.